Ladies and gentlemen, gays and days and in-betweens, all of you beautiful people, welcome to a very special episode of Ryan Out Loud. This is my 100th episode. 100. 100 episodes. I need to put in the, I'm not 100 episodes in and I don't have the budget yet. It's coming. But y'all, I was trying to figure out who could I have as my guest for the 100th episode, who had an incredible year. I reached out to a lot of people and a lot of people shaded me, didn't even respond, but it's all good. But this person, I text him, okay? And he's had the best year out of everyone. Like, hands down, 2023 was the year of Amorphous. Welcome. He's no stranger to the show. He's family to Ryan Out Loud. Amorphous, welcome.
Hi again, friend. Oh my God, wait a minute. I just have to say, you know, I always do this. I have to give you your flowers to be on your 100th episode. That's such an honor. And so, like you said, we text. Like, you are such a humble spirit and a beautiful person. So I'm just really happy that you, one, reached out to me and thought of me to be here to not just celebrate me, but, you know, I like to spin it around and celebrate you as well. So
you always give me your flowers. Love and flowers. As I just, and I'm going to return it right back to you. You thrive and continue to inspire me, and it keeps me fueled, you know. So thank you. But before we continue, I have a very special guest as well. He is my brother from another. He left me here in Pittsburgh and is thriving down in DC. I call him the president king of the beehive.
Don't start saying that now.
I know. He was gonna get some buzz. the one and only my friend Antoine, welcome.
Hello.
How do you want to introduce yourself? Did I say it right? Or you want to do introduce
yourself? No, you're good. So Antoine, that's my name. So,
but you know your business, you know, do your thing.
Yes, well, thank you, Ryan. Amorphous, I'm really honored to be here, honestly. You know, Ryan hit me up about this a while ago, and I was like, of course, I'll stop whatever I need to do to be present for this. So it's MLK Day of all days. So that's amazing.
All no days. One has of to all do. Days. No, literally nothing to do. I mean, we all just sitting at home.
I know, right?
It's an honor to be here with you too. I mean, we've conversed even just briefly. So I'm happy that we got to make this happen.
Yes, likewise. So yeah. I don't want no one jumping down my throat. I am just an admin of the Clubhouse Beehive. That is the app Clubhouse. That is all. I don't claim to be the president of nothing.
You know, they like Sting, baby. So, yeah. Disclaimer. I'm sorry, Beehive. Yeah. I'm sorry. First of all, let's just catch up. Happy belated birthday. Happy New Year. Actually, this episode is Capricorn energy strong. My Capricorn friends, happy belated birthday to both of you, especially you.
Thank you.
Amorphous, happy belated birthday. And let's just, how are you feeling we're a few days into the new year. We're into the new year. So, like, how are you feeling? Are you resting? Because this year, you know, you came off of a really high 2023.
I think 2024 is going to be even greater, personally. but no, I mean, I'm tired. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm definitely tired. And I feel like rest is very important. Yes. I think for me, even between, like, when we've done our podcast episodes, when did we do our last one? It was like a few years ago.
We did the end of year. Well, our one solo, me and you.
Yeah.
2022.
Oh, wow. My God.
Yeah. Or no, was it 2023? It was 2022.
It was one of them.
One of
us. One of them.
Rose God and
yes.
And Taylor did the end of year review with me last 2022 into 2023.
Okay, yeah. So it's been a good, like, almost like a year and a half. Two years. I think one of the things that I realized is that between that time of, like, me putting out my last project and having that big viral moment and what happened last year, I was kind of in that phase of like, oh, maybe I'm not doing enough, you know, like I'm not just putting out a lot of stuff at the amount that I wanted to. But God had bigger plans.
Okay. Said,
be quiet and sit down and trust yourself. So I'm in this space of like, I know what my goals are. I know what is going to be happening later this year, but I'm also just taking this time to rest, because sometimes when you rest, your biggest blessings come about.
That part. Mm-hmm. And I actually go back and tell you, you know, sometimes my brain catches up late with things. And I was listening to your project again. Things take shape. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening. Things take shape. And then it said amorphous. And I was like,
that is funny. You know, let me tell you something. It's unfortunate. I haven't listened to that project in a minute.
We talked about it. You said you were like, you just, I get it. I understand. Mm-hmm. You told me.
But it's still a, like, I think, but maybe like a week ago, I was just randomly just like on shuffle. And I think it was Back Together came on with Kehlani. And I was like, oh my God, it brought me right back to that place. And, yeah. You know, I think with this kind of newfound confidence that I've kind of grown just working on what I've worked on last year, I'm definitely getting into a place of like appreciating not having everything be perfect. Mm. And understanding that was part of my journey and my process, like to come out with a project like that so quickly and immediately was no small feat. And even though I was kind of like, oh, I wanted to do some other things with it and like really give it like a really, really big push, it did what it needed to do. And I got to work with so many artists and legends that I've loved and appreciated. So just giving like myself that perspective again of like, you're always thinking about what's next and what you need to be doing next. It's like, no, you worked with Kehlani, you worked with Brandy, you worked with Kelly Rowland on your own project.
Yes.
Like, and it was, people enjoyed it. So even though you still have more layers of yourself, your creativity to show, that was what you were able to bring at that time. So yeah, things take shape. Go stream it, y'all.
Yes, that's my favorite. And I was just like, wow. It was the title, and I was like, amorphous, things take shape. Woo, I had a moment. I was like, wow, Ryan.
That really? Title was who came up? Oh, a really good friend of mine, he was helping me out with some music stuff at the time. His name is D Dot. Remember, we were sitting out in LA. We had just like kind of finished the project. And I'm like, I was coming up with all kinds of crazy ass names. He was like, what about things take shape? And I was like, works for me. You know, we didn't even like overthink it, but he came up with that from, you know, the amorphous name. So it was funny that you brought that up.
That was hilarious. I was like,
oh. Well,
you know, the girl, what's her name?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's okay. Sister.
I know, she's, I hope nothing ever comes up about her, because I ride for her.
Okay.
I ride for her. So let's just jump into it, okay? I'm going to tell you from my point of view, okay?
Okay.
I remember, so let me just tell you something. Antoine, remember I told you this as well.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, I think Amorphous is going to be a part of the Renaissance tour.
Yeah.
And this is before we even like, you know,
knew anything for real.
Antoine wanted to have you on Clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And when I reached out and you were down, and I was like, and I've been saying this, Antoine, did I not?
Yeah.
Okay, my Raven, give me my Raven Baxter moment. I was like, in my mind, you were going, and I had you as the official DJ.
Mm.
In my mind, I had you as the official DJ. And I was like, oh my God, Jameer's going to be like on, like everywhere. Like I just, mm-hmm. it was just, that's just how I had it in my head. Mm-hmm. But then when, you know, Antoine was like, would you mind reaching out to Amorphous about being on Clubhouse? Da, 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 da. I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm all about connection. You know, I'm all about, if I have the power to do it, I'm going to do it. So when you were like, sure, I'll do it. And then like, I think it was like a week or two later, and you were like,
it got to the nitty gritty.
He was like, so I don't think I can do it. And I was Antoine, I was like, the tour had got announced. I was trying my hardest, and I was like, the tour has got announced. I was like, he's going to be the DJ. I'm telling you right fucking now, mm-hmm. this is going to be the official DJ for Renaissance Tour. Mm-hmm. And so then when you were like, I can't say, I was like,
yeah.
I like, I knew it. So then there was a thought of me. I thought you were going to be Chloe's DJ.
Ooh.
Her tour. I was like, that's it,
yeah. Wow, that's crazy. I remember all of this.
He's going to be, Chloe's DJ. And then that didn't happen. Uh-huh. I was like, okay, then it's definitely Renaissance. And I was like, the amount of times I wanted to text you like, hey,
what's going on? Hey, girl.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
Is Beyonce sitting right next to you? No.
Right. Let me know. Okay. Let me know. Please. Let me get the tip.
So then when, your post came after the tour, the tour dropped and you were on your way, you went to the first stop.
Mm-hmm.
You went, yeah. And I was like, when I tell you my head exploded in excitement and joy for you, like I felt like a proud big brother. Okay. Like, the way I've been rooting for you, like the way you support me, the love is always mutual. And the way I just, you see people on social media, you're like, you just want them to win. And you're one of those people that I just want continue to win. So when it was announced and you were on your way to her first stop on the tour, I was running. I was like, what is wrong? I was like, you remember I used to play his mixes during the coat? Like, she was like, so she caught on. But I was just like, it was crazy. So this is the only question I'm going to ask, and I'm going to let it take over, AKA said it again. How did this come about? Like, is this initially from, like, you use a lot of her, songs and your brilliant mind for mashups, your mashup. Mm-hmm. My favorite is the plastic on the sofa and Cranes with the, sisters together. Was that initially, because like she posted that, we talked about this before, she posted it, like how did the conversation start? Let's just
look, child. But first of all, thank you. It's always, like I said, my mind is kind of like always on the next thing, so it's like it's really fun to go back to that moment, because sometimes I forget, even like the last like few months, I'm like working on the next stuff. I'm like, oh wait, I did work with her. That's kind of crazy, that's really funny. When we were talking about how she posted it and stuff. The process was really interesting. I had no idea like that any of that was going to come about. Like when we were talking, like nothing was even mummed about it. And so I'm really good friends with Damian Smith. I think he's her manager, so he operates as like her top manager right now. And he's a really good childhood friend of my half sister's cousin. His name is Victor Duplay. He's like a artist and creative in his own right, and he's had his own kind of like moment a couple of years ago. And at the time, even like around when we were talking, I believe I was looking for new management. I had parted ways with my previous management. And Victor was saying how, Damian represented Beyonce now, and Damian had bought potentially managing me a few years ago, back in like 2020 when I first had my moment. But Victor told him that I had other management at the time, so it just didn't line up correctly. But we took a meeting, we had an introduction, and he, really, really great person. Like he's so talented in his own right, his own ear, but he's so gracious in the way that he deals with things. Like he's so like nonchalant about it, but he means business. And I love that energy. It reminded me of me. Like I try to be kind when working with people, but also don't play about my business. Okay. Like we got to get something done. But we had a couple meetings and they went really well. And then he kind of had like went quiet for a little bit, but I figured, look, he's like managing the biggest artist in the goddamn world. So if he wants to come back and circle and spin the block, I'll be here. But I had hit him up to see if I could go to the Roc Nation brunch actually last year. And it was supposed to be able to get in there. Everything was going right. I was like, oh my God, wait, maybe I'll actually like meet Beyonce like at the Roc Nation brunch. She's going to be there. She's posted my mix. I know she knows who I am just from all the dealings over the years from the Beyonce and Jay-Z mashup project and just rummagings. But then they shut it down because of like capacity issues. So I couldn't even get in. And I was so upset. I had gotten like this really expensive outfit. Okay. I was looking real dapper. I'm like, oh my God, I'm about to meet Beyonce, Jay. I hope Riri's there with her pregnant behind. I hope I get to see everybody. You know, just, it just didn't happen. But in that moment of like, kind of like thinking, dang, like that was my, finally my moment to like actually meet her and like say something to her face. I was like, you know what? What am I stressing about? Because I'm going to meet Beyonce by working with her, and that's going to be even better. Why would I want to meet her in some 10-second interaction at a brunch where she's going to be trying to meet everybody? Everybody's going to be trying to talk to her when I could hopefully one day work with her. I had no idea that it was going to be the Renaissance World Tour. I'm thinking this is like a 5-year plan, even from then. Yeah. And then 2 weeks later, I got the call.
Look at God.
2 weeks later, I got the call. And yeah, Damien had called me and he was like, hey, so just talk to Miss B. We call her. It's like, yeah, she just randomly brought her name up in a meeting. It was like, she wants you to do the mashups and the transitions for the tour. And I was like,
what?
Okay. So that was just like a big, I didn't know how to process it. Like, I knew who I was talking to, but it just felt like, okay, this is like a prank. Like, I know your voice. You know, AI has gotten really good. So I don't know which one of the, look, who's trying to play with me, okay, with this voice manipulation stuff. But yeah, everything happened pretty quickly after that. That was like, I remember just calling my mom and I just cried. I just cried my mom. I said, Mom, I've had like genuine, like almost like lucid dreams about me being in the studio with Beyonce or like being in like a tour rehearsal. I've been tweeting about this for years saying one day I hope that I get to work with her. I hope that I get to do the mixes or something for a tour. And everybody kept saying, oh, well, maybe you'll like DJ. And something that I've been kind of like bespoken about, I think, is I do enjoy DJing, but it was never like what I wanted to do in terms of like my career. Like, look, I think I'm pretty good at it. It pays the bills. I'm not complaining. I was sort of precursor to that. I'm very grateful for it. But I've always looked at myself as like a producer, filmmaker, behind the scenes kind of person. So getting that opportunity to me was much bigger than just like, okay, opening for her on the tour. Because that meant that I would be part of the process. That meant that she would be performing things that I did, you know what I mean? And I had done so many different like tour ideas, even like when Renaissance first came out, that I just never put out because I'm like, you always want to stay prepared. I'm like, just by any case, you never know. So I'm like, oh, I was just messing around with that. Lo and behold, he calls me and that's happening. I'm like, oh, well, I already have like 50 different ideas. Like, you can just send that right on over. But yeah, it was, I got the call and had to go to rehearsal and be there for quite a minute. You know, shout out to Yvette. You know, I'm trying to circumvent what I can and cannot say, but it was a lot of fun and an experience that I will never, ever, ever, ever forget to be there, to be part of it. I was there for a while.
Wow. Antoine, go ahead.
No, so like, you know, Ryan just kind of outlined the whole timeline situation. Mm-hmm. So we know in January, she did Dubai, right?
Yes.
So before a tour was even announced, like Ryan was saying, the hype and just everyone on Twitter was already convinced it's happened. The tour happened. So kind of like how you just said, like how it just kind of came about. No one knew when, no one kind of knew how that was going to happen. And then it just was announced, right? As Black History Month began, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just like thinking of us. So obviously this happened in January, correct?
No.
This happened in February.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. If I remember the timeline correctly, the Black Nation Brunch is usually Grammy weekend. Uh-huh. So it's like early February.
Usually at the, yeah.
When the tour was announced, I was going to get my tickets like a regular fan.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I said to myself, so well, wait a minute. I said, well, maybe I won't do that because I'm like, you know what, Yvette, we know each other, you know, me working with Kelly and stuff. And I'm like, well, maybe I can like, maybe they'll throw me a bone because of all the mixes and the virality or something. Yeah. So I was like, I'm not even going to worry about it. I was just putting everything into one basket. Like, I'm going to be there without having to pay because I'm taking it expensive.
Yeah.
Then like I think like a few days after that, when February started, I got the call.
Wow. Mm. So I think the thing that stuck out to me, obviously, yes, you got the call about working with Beyonce, but I think it's so interesting and obviously as a hive, a representative rather. I feel like there's always someone that has some sort of connection in the industry to Beyonce on a deeper level. Like the fact that you have like that personal connection with Damien in a sense, right? Yeah. I think that is like, that's like mind blowing because we talk about that stuff like all the time rather.
Right.
So just kind of on that, did you get connected through your sister with him or?
So it was my sister's cousin. She connected me with him. We hadn't really talked ever. Victor. And then he connected me with Damon because they were really close. But I think that's what I had figured when he called me when that happened. I'm like, okay, you know, we're talking about, you know, working together, all that, you know, beautiful synergy between the two of us. So I'm like, well, maybe he put my name on the air. He was like, she just brought you up. I was like, oh, so she didn't even know you knew me? He was like, no, I just told her. I'm like, yeah, I have Jamina's number right here. That's my cousin's sister's, whatever, the way the family works. Yeah. He's like, I know him. Like, he's good. Like, I was just talking to him. So it was really funny how that worked out. That, like, the world was so small. And that, like, she just brought me up. You know what I mean? When he told me that, I was like, okay, all right. Okay. Now I know what's happening, for real.
So did you meet her in person?
I mean, I think you can suffice.
You know, and the reason why I asked that, you would think that that would be something that's like obvious, no brainer, but a lot of people didn't. Like, that was a part of the Renaissance process. They kind of just maybe talked to her on the phone or did a video chat or whatever.
I just had like a little NDA. I mean, you know, the NDAs, they don't play. You know what I mean? And I think the funny thing is like, that was my first time working on anything of that caliber, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to think again, if I'm at the going to the Roc Nation brunch, not getting in, I'm like, that was already like a lot, like security, just everybody was a mess. And then a month later, I'm just walking in rehearsal like it's nothing. I was like, that was such a weird dynamic to be in and to become family with a lot of people. Like, shout out to Crystal, she just had her. Beautiful baby. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. And I feel like Crystal was like the first person that like I really, really clicked with. Not that I didn't click with anybody else. I mean, everybody was great, but just, you know, my personality and just the way that I can just be such a goofball. Like, me and Crystal just clicked like that. And she really took me under her wing and gave me so much reassurance. Like, I was afraid to show some of my work, you know what I mean? Just like to be put into that room with so many amazing people, including the artists that you always dreamed of working with. I've said this since I was little. My teacher said something about this a few months ago when I was in Philly for the Philly show and she was there. So I remember when you was doing Ring the Alarm at the middle school talent show and you did the MTV version with the breakdown. I was a stan. I knew that. I was like, oh, okay. Uh-huh. Like, it was always Beyonce and Aaliyah. You always talked about the two of them and how one day you was going to work with Beyonce and make it happen. And just, you know, to be in that rehearsal space and to like have signed a park with India, I was like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, this is legit going to happen. Yeah. But it didn't fully, even after, you know, being in the same room and in meeting and all that stuff, it didn't fully register that I was part of like history until the first show. You know what I mean? Like, seeing it in person, hearing her, like, that was what sent me over the moon. Like, I cried so hard.
So I know you did the Move. Sure. What else? Please tell. Can you? What else did you?
I think so. I mean, whatever. Yvette, you know, I love you, girl. I mean, if this part, you could tell me. But no, I'm pretty sure we can talk because I've noticed like a lot of people have some of the people that helped out with like a range of the stuff, they kind of mentioned some of the things that they did. But yeah, I did the Move mix. I did some stuff when he did the UNIQUE part. Was me on Alien Superstar.
Her kids ate that up in them films.
Oh my God, that made me cry. That made me cry. I was like, oh my God, not it. Just going down the generations. That was and that was something that I had did. Like I said, that was what, August of 2022?
Sitting on these.
Yeah, some of them I was already sitting on, like, just, like, ideas. I was, like, if I had the opportunity to, like, musically arrange, like, I had a completely different arrangement than what ended up being used, but wow, that little part that was used, that was my little moment. But yeah, there's so much that I was like little pieces that I was part of throughout it that I can't even fully remember. I have to probably go through and just look at like my files and what actually made it in. But I think the Move one, that was one that I did the night Renaissance came out. And I never put that out because I was like, I feel like if there's any opportunity for her to do this on tour, I don't even want to have anybody, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to be that kind of situation.
You did all this, you had this waiting, and then it's just like you knew.
Yeah. Like, I was hoping. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, you just never know. Like, the way that life has worked for me is so like, I've a lot of the things that I've tweeted about and I've dreamed about, it just, God has just bestowed, you know, that those blessings upon me. But I've also learned to be prepared for that. So that way, if they called me up last minute and was like, hey, we want some stuff, I'm not working on my own project, doing 20 different things. And now I'm like stressed. I'm like, oh my God, I got to turn something in for Beyonce tonight. It's like, no, I was like, you know, I work really quickly anyway, but let me just try and see like what I could do for my own self. You know, there's so many fans that do like live versions of her songs. Like, I remember before the tour even came out, there was so many different like variations of like what the arrangements could sound like, and that was like really, really cool to see. Even from like the Formation World Tour, I remember people were doing that. So yeah, when Renaissance first came out, I'm like, what would I do if I was the musical director of the Renaissance World Tour? What would I do? So I made most of my work I did prior, and then the night that I got the call, I just stayed up and just cranked out like a bunch of stuff. So
wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So I'm curious, were you behind the genius of Virgo's Groove, and then her kind of intertwining all of like a big chunk of her catalog into that song?
No, that's one that I can say. Everybody, there's so many things that people think I'm a part of, and you know, it was a group effort. What I mean? Like, just like, you know, shout out to Kyrie and Damo, those are in Rance, those are the actual musical directors of the tour. And as you all know, I mean, this is public knowledge, but B is very involved. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? With everything, she doesn't play, you know what I mean? So, like, I think that's one of the reasons why she recognized that talent in me, is because I think we work in similar ways. Like, she can hear 20 different things from 20 different songs and be able to combine them into this one beautiful masterpiece. And so many people, like, I've noticed, kind of see like what I've done as like, oh, you're just putting one song on top of one other. Yes, I can do that because that's the easiest thing to do. Now, everything needs to be a complete deconstruction, but I also have the capability in the ear to, you know, if I'm listening to a Virgo's Groove, be like, or Heated, for example, to say, oh, maybe you should interpolate some of I'm So Into You by Tamia. Like, just take some of that, you know, guitar riff and put that in there. And that's what we did, you know? So I think it's really cool to have that kind of like power to help out and just become like a helping ear while also having like some actual arrangements in there. But no, that was, I'm pretty sure that was her that came up with that.
The Virgo's Groove,
Mm-hmm. That was it clean.
Y'all both, like, I still trip off of, I just retweeted it the other day on Twitter, your mashup with Cranes in the Sky and Plastic Off the Soap. Like, that, your ear. And I think I've
that was the one that I think she really, I remember, like, yeah, that was the one that really sent her overdrive about me, I'm pretty sure. Her, some of her engineers and stuff, they were like, yeah, she was in the studio, she was just freaking out, she was just going all through your stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, she's an archivist, you know what I mean? Like, she, when you think about all the beautiful people that were involved with DJing, you know, shout out to Andrew McKatsey too, like, she listens, she has her ears to these streets. Great. And that was my biggest thing that I was so proud about, because so many people too were like, oh, like, he's trying to catch another viral moment because he's whatever. Like, he wants another 2020. Like, why are you doing so many Beyonce mixes? Just leave her alone. Leave Renaissance alone. I was like, it's not hurting nobody. Like, this is, if you listen to Renaissance, it's samples. You know what I mean? Like, to, which song is it? Is it Virgo's Groove? Virgo's Groove, look, there's so many different elements that make up Renaissance. And it's really like a big celebration of creativity. And I look at it, even though it's a house and disco album, it really harkens back to the origins of hip hop to me, because a lot of it goes to, like, you know, the ballroom scene and just taking different, you know, chants and this snare here and this kick here from this song and making something beautiful. And so when she, I think when she just, like I said, when she discovered me, and I think she may have been aware of me for a few years, or her team was, at least Parkwood was. But I think when she kind of found out about, oh, this Amorphous kid, it was like, oh yeah, we gotta pull him in on this. And that was just a beautiful experience, you know, for sure.
You know, I feel like you're talking to the best people right now, just because I have my BHAV hat on, in the sense, not physically, but in the sense of, like, I know about what can kind of be talked about, what can't be. We know about all the, so it's like, you know, the hair.
Yeah, it's never a joke. Like, it's never a joke with them. And I think that's one thing that was a little, personally, it was a little disheartening to see, just like throughout the era, just even through Renaissance, is like, you know, we all have our own, like, connections to people that work and on the team and stuff. And it's like, people are just talking. You know what I mean? Just like talking, even about, like, the visuals. I'm like, why? Y'all just can't shut up. You know what I mean? Like, that's not everyone's business. And when you, if this is your first time working with an artist of that caliber, why would you want to mess that up by working with her, of all people? You know what I mean? Someone that's, like, intentionally secretive. I've been able to take a little bit more creative liberties on what I've talked about because the tour is over. The film is out. You know what I mean? Like, she's spoken about a lot of this stuff. I mean, and there's still some things that I know for a fact. I got to be like, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Just don't. People get so caught up in, like, the, I wouldn't even say entitlement, but just, like, the excitement. Because sometimes it's, like, just a naivety. It's just, like, you work with Beyonce. You want to go run and tell the world. And it's, like, no. You know what I mean? You just have to reel it in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I know, you know. That's why I trust y'all. I'm like, all right. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'll handle it if anything's an issue. But I'm pretty sure, like, from what I've been able to speak about the last few months, like, I've been able to give some tidbits about what we did and some stuff I just got to keep to the chest. And that's cool with me. It's some things you want to keep to your own experience. Yeah. Like, that was something that, like I said, like, just to be in that space.
And I hope it's more. Like, I hope.
I do too.
Praying that there's more.
I do. I really hope that, you know, I this is, like, not even me trying to be funny. I don't know anything about what's happening. Yeah, you know what I mean? They are very secretive. But, you know, I think the way that, I think the fan response, everyone loved it. I do remember like being on Twitter as I was watching the show the first night. And it's so funny. I will say this. I'm gonna clock some people. It's so funny to see how people turn in like 3 months, because some people was just being so like, and I'm not, they did that with the Formation World Tour too. It's like experts with no expertise. No shade, but they're like clocking stuff. They're like the wardrobe, and I don't know about this, and da 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 da. And then 3 months later, oh my God, wait, that's the best. Girl, ain't nothing changed through there besides some of the outfits. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this, everything was meticulously thought out. And that's why I wish people would just, like, instead of just making an opinion off of just first listen, off of just first, you weren't even there at the show. You was watching through an Instagram live feed.
Yeah.
So go see the show for yourself. And everyone ended up enjoying it. And now it's made history. So not to clock everybody, but just like, it's just little stuff that I'll be noticing, because I want people to understand, like, she puts her everything into this. Mm-hmm. And she does this not just for herself, she does this for the fans. And when you have the discography that Beyonce has, when you have the legacy that Beyonce has, there's so many different kinds of fans that you have to, in a way that you feel you have an obligation to serve. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's some people that only love I Am Sasha Fierce. They love pop Beyonce. There's some people that love the deep cuts. They don't want to hear Halo for the 100th time. They don't want to hear this with a, you know what I mean? So, like, everyone has their own opinion about what should make a set list. Everyone has their own opinion about what visual things that she should put on there. Oh, it didn't look like the Formation World Tour cue, because it wasn't the Formation World Tour. It was the Renaissance World Tour.
Exactly. So I hope
you went and saw the show. And if you didn't, you saw the movie. And yeah, I'm just happy that I was a part of it. That just put me on for you. You know,
first of all, I clocked them motherfuckers on Twitter. because I remember I posted something and somebody commented like, oh, that's not his best work. I was like, but I was like, don't
I never took offense to that because whenever, what? Like, I've seen,
I can't remember, but I was like, that's, I was like, my friend's a genius and you just need to stay in your lane.
Listen, let me say something. None of that matters. Do you understand who hired me? And like, I don't like to get spicy, but sometimes people don't be talking and I see everything.
Your shit.
You are such a Capricorn. You are such a Capricorn.
It's like I'm very like, I, especially now, you know what I mean? Like, it's, why would I even give that my energy? You know what I mean? Like, I got to like look at the credits, no shade, but like, you weren't there. And that's no shade to you. Like, maybe
I said it. I was like,
if she herself, if Beyonce herself is approving of this, it's not, it wasn't no, oh, somebody had to go to her and get approval. It was, no, she wants Amorphis to be here, part of this tour. So there's that. And it's a critically acclaimed tour. I see y'all on TikTok doing the dances to the mixes. Again, because so many people got, I feel like because I couldn't really talk about what exactly I did, a lot of people thought I did things that I didn't do. So it's been really funny to watch them like go off about, yeah, it's really funny to watch them go off about like a certain mix. They're like, oh, I know that Amorphis kid did that because that was sloppy. And I'm like, little do you know, that had nothing to do with me. You know what I mean? I didn't do that. You know what I mean? And it sounded great. It's just like people just, I feel like because people have kind of like seen, I've been such, it's been so tangible to see my journey. It's very easy to hop on that and be like, oh, he's not really deserving of it now. Like, oh, that kid was just doing little mixes because he wanted to in his own little room in the middle of a pandemic where we're all struggling. And now he got to work with Beyonce. That don't sit right with my spirit. So anything that he touches don't work. No, honey, Beyonce approved me. I'm sorry, but what's done is done. And you can't take that away from me.
Okay. And you know, all of that, what all of that affirms is that you made it. Honestly,
yeah, even yeah, like I don't like it, it made is it, what it is.
Made it,
and that's always, you have to think. I always give my perception, like, I can't even be tenderhearted about like comments like that because look at what she has to deal with, you know what I mean, on a daily basis, and every second, someone is making some crazy story, crazy tweet. Oh, she can't sing. I'm like, y'all just be objectively lying, you know what I mean, about certain things.
But really, like, I think it actually brought a tear to my eye when she talked about, you know, the part with coming up.
Yeah,
I was like, I, you know, not that I know, but like from what it seemed like, they keep her very, you know,
guarded and protected,
protected from the internet, because they were so cruel to her. But they're so cruel to her as a baby, and she did a, you know, and I think she, you know, when she had the twins, and she really kept them guarded too, and then
people
had assumptions about them as well, and it's like,
it's so funny being like, having seen like that dynamic in person. Like, I've never, you want to jump through the screen and say something to these people sometimes, you know what I mean, because you see how much hard work and like you said, like just a beautiful family dynamic. And I remember, like, did I actually say something to this person? I don't know. Somebody said something on Twitter like, oh, Beyonce's never struggled in life. She's been spoiled and blessed through her entire childhood. You know what I mean? Like, she's always this big thing about like capitalism and all this stuff. And I'm like, y'all just look, you don't get to where, this is what I said. I said, you don't get to where Beyonce is without a level of self-sacrifice. And people, you know, people being dumb, you know, they take that and run with it and make whatever. But I meant in the sense of like, she has had to overextend herself in her childhood to get to where she is. Every day that she wakes up, she has to be Beyonce. She can't just be B. She has to be. You got fans following her plane going to Brazil. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you, that has to have some type of like drain on you mentally. But she's so protected, she's so well structured within her faith that none of that really bothers her. So I've kind of taken a page out of like that book, just like being in that space of like, girl, she's to have them things that people be saying, people will be ready to take their own lives, you know what I mean, about her, you know what I mean. But she still shows up every day. She has kids now, she has a family, she has a man, she has a husband, she has a mom, she has a father, her sister. She still has to show up, and she has a drive to still be, she lets her creativity, you know, outshine any of the negative stuff. So that's what I've been telling myself this year. Like, so, and she might check a person through a lyric. You know what I mean? You might hear she might sting you just a little bit, but other than that, she's going to work on please. Okay. But other than that, I've never had an experience with an artist where you've been able to tangibly see like how their mind works while you're in the room with them. Wow. Like, and you're just wondering, like, what are they thinking? Like, you have no idea. And then they come out with something so genius. Like, you talk about, you know, Beyonce and the other greats like Michael Jackson, and like when you look at like the behind the scenes of his videos and stuff, and how he would just like get in the booth and just start doing, it's the same exact thing. And again, I'm taking a page out of her book and that entire experience and applying that to my career, what I need to do next for, you know, the next 5 years. So shout out to B. Sorry, I had to defend you a little bit, girl, because these people get on my nerves.
I know. I call them Twitter A&Rs. Like, fuck them. Anyways.
Exactly. X-A&Rs. I ain't even Twitter no more, girl.
Yeah, I know. That's right. X-A&R. Twitter, Twitter fingers, and
But they hot Cheeto fingers, yeah. And they Mountain Dews, and they okay. Pepsi. Want to talk about what Beyonce should have done.
Wow. Thank you for walking us through that.
Of course.
That is like hearing it. It's like, you know, you hear these stories, and I saw a couple of your interviews that were posted. Mm-hmm. Purposely did not read them, listen to them. It's my own.
Yes.
I wanted to.
I think I've, you know, Ryan, like I said, we are, you know, Antoine, we are at this point. I'm like, look, I know what I can pretty much and cannot say at this point. Like, I give you the most of anybody, you know, that knows about this. So you got that exclusive story.
I appreciate that. So we're talking about next. Okay. So I was listening to one of our interviews. I love saying that. One of our interviews. And many more to come. You know, your first project, Things Take Shape, was female dominated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
With Kalani, Brandy, CC Penson, right?
Penison, yeah.
I'm sorry, I'll mess up.
That's okay.
It's okay. Kelly Rowland, I'm missing somebody, but
Ray Bree Runway was on there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you had mentioned that your next project, you wanted it to be male influence, like you wanted more male influence on your next project. What is the what's this next project sounding like?
I would say it's actually 50-50 now. I can't let go of my girls.
Understood.
I just can't. You know, I love my girls. I mean, I'm a girl myself. So I just naturally gravitate towards that. But, you know, I did feel a kind of way. I don't think I ever really talked about this, but I did feel kind of way after Finally came out. I'm not gonna lie. Because I felt like, and I felt this energy whenever like I would go outside. Like something just switched after that, where anytime that I showed up at like an event, they would start playing that song. And I felt like the energy that people would give me was very like, how do I word this correctly? Because, you know, I want to make sure I'm saying this absolutely correctly. I just felt like, okay, like I said, I'm what, 5'3", 5'4". I have quite the feminine side to me. But I feel like people were taking advantage of my femininity and using it as weakness. I'm speaking of in the industry. Mm. I'm not even speaking of like, oh, just like regular, but I'm talking like, oh, if I go to like an industry event and they start playing a song, and just like the energy that I would get from people was just so like different than 3 months before when I was working with Kehlani. And I think it's specific. I think it happened after my, Jimmy Kimmel performance that I did. And I felt like that was such a weird place to be in, because I couldn't tell if it was like me tweaking. But then as time kept going on, and it would happen every time, whenever that song would play and I was around an industry event, people were like, literally kind of like, I'm gonna just call them out. I'm not gonna say no names, but like a lot of the men would be like, they were kind of back off. And I'm like, yo, like, I don't know what it was, but apparently, according to people, before that song came out, before Things Take Shape, really, for some reason, people thought I was a straight man in the industry, the men. And I'm like, well, we're not going to go there fully, because, you know, I don't know what delusions they're living. But it was just a really quick change that I've like actually experienced and I've lived through. And I felt like I wouldn't care how people, I don't care how people look or treat, but I care about how people treat me in a business sense.
Yeah.
That's who gives nobody. It is, girl, we got Lil Nas X, we got Saucy Santana, Coleman Domingo. There's so many amazing artists, performers, creators that are out here that are doing their thing, and nobody, you know, bat to nine. I wouldn't say nobody bats to nine. Look at people keep trying to play with Lil Nas X, leave him alone. But I just felt like for myself, they were even just like the business opportunities, everything was like, oh, let's sign him so he could do a couple pride events and then drop him. And it was like, oh, that's literally not what I was trying to do. You know what I mean? I'm embracing my sexuality through the song. And, you know, it's an ode to, you know, bottom culture, queer culture. We went up on the, I was very, very, very strict about that performance, about like, it needs to be Black queer people on the stage. But I didn't really realize that like me doing that was going to pigeonhole me so quickly in a business sense. So I made it like a big effort with this next project. Like, I think even sonically, when people listen to it, like, people have hit me up to do remixes for songs. I'm like, oh yeah, we want something like Finally. Girl, that was one part of me. My name is Amorphous for a reason. You know what I mean? Yeah. It means undefined, shapeless. Like, I'm not going to give you a cut to the cut to cut, cut every single time. I might give you that. And look at it like, I'm not verse, but looking like a verse person. They give you the best flavors of everything. You know what I mean? And that's what I will be doing. So I was really like, when we last talked, I was like, oh, I wanted to be more male focused. I think subconsciously I was thinking to myself, like, oh, if I get more males in this project, I'll be able to like show like a lot of the men in the industry, like, oh, like y'all can work with me, it's whatever. Like, you don't have to put my sexuality before my talent. But then I also realized, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like, who wants to work me is the people who wants to work me. Like, you know, I've been talking to Maxwell, I've been talking to a lot of great people. Like, these are legends. Yeah. So why the hell would I care if some crazed little, you know, viral TikTok person don't want to get in a studio with me because he's, for whatever reason, it has nothing to do with my talent. It has to do with the way that they treat me. Yeah. And
we've heard the stories about what's going on behind the scenes, but that's not.
We do. And like I said, everybody has their own journey. Like, I'm not here to like, even like me speaking about this, this is my own personal experience. This isn't to be like, oh, these people should be vilified. But I just say, like, if you don't want to fucking work with me, you don't want to fucking work with me.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to allow that to stop me from showing the best of myself. Like, even just like the people that were like my team and stuff at the time were just like, you should focus on like all the gay stuff. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm more than that.
Why? Like, because it makes the most money, the most quick buck. Because I could do a couple balls, DJ a couple balls, DJ a couple, you know, some of the darkroom events and whatever. And now, what? You know what I mean? Like, that's not what, that's a part of my story. It's a beautiful part of my story. Something that I will never, ever, ever run away from. But in a creativity sense, it definitely pissed me off. So I was like, you know, this next project, even sonically, like, it's very, how do I put it? It's an R&B project. It's an R&B project, but it's very like, I think because a lot of people, when they look at me or when they think of Amorphous, they probably do think of Finally, they think of me and like Brie and like giving some for the girls, which is great. But this project is like, there's a real story behind it. And sonically, it's there's some bops, but it's like somber bops. It's dark. It's like an ode to the place where I was in my childhood and me rediscovering the light again. I look at it like a concept project. I mean, the girls that are on the project, y'all gonna gag. It's coming together so well. But
how would you say, are we getting it this year?
No, it's not that I can't say. It's just that I want to make sure that I put it out the right way.
From 1 to 100, how complete is the project?
70%. Like, all the production is done. Like, we're just in a phase of just getting like all the features and getting the studio with the girls and the boys and the men's, and making something shake. But it's like some of the production stuff that I did like years ago, stuff that people have never heard. And I was just going through my files and I was like, yo, like, this shit is still how I feel today. Like, how I felt producing that is how I feel today, and it still holds up. But yeah, I've been working with Aunt Clemens a lot. Love Aunt Clemens. He's an amazing, amazing writer and artist in his own right. So we've been cutting some stuff for some of the girls. I'm supposed to get in with Jazzy soon. Jazzy's an incredible artist and writer in her own right. And we're going to be cutting some stuff for the girls. And then, yeah, some of the men have sent some vocals back. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, now we're really talking. I want to make a... You come off, like, working with Beyonce and Victoria. A lot of people, at least for myself, I might be projecting, but I always thought me working with Beyonce was going to happen, like, in my, like, 20-year career plan. And it happened in, what, year three? Two or three. So I'm like, now I'm really trying to like challenge myself and make a statement and make an impact. How can I continue to build my legacy and not just be, oh yeah, cute little pandemic guy, you know, made some mixes, work with Beyonce. It's like, no, I'm trying to be along with the greats, like Pharrell. I'm trying to be along with the, you know, the Cachinatas of the world. You know, I want to be on that level. So this next part is going to be fun.
I'm excited. And I'm also manifest. I really want you here in Pittsburgh for an event.
Oh yeah, what the hell? But, well, I actually was supposed to do one and I couldn't because of the tour. You know. Okay, I gotta get back up there. I'll see if I can follow up with the venue.
I'm gonna be doing a couple things in the city with hosting events and
yeah
and stuff. If it's something that I can host and you know, you are, I'm putting that in it. Look, we manifest.
Let's do it. It ain't nothing to manifest. We can make it happen.
You know, I'm going to get in touch with the organization that I signed my residency through.
Mm-hmm.
See if we can, you know, especially before you probably get booked in Pride.
Yeah.
You know, because I know you're going to be.
That's the thing about when you were talking about, like, oh, is the project coming out? Girl, I don't know, because, you know, with the rollout, there's a lot of work that goes involved. You can finish the project, and I didn't get to do any visuals for the last project, so I definitely want visuals for this one. So I got to shoot stuff. I mean, you go back and forth with artists, go to the studio with them. I'm going to be DJing. I'm working on some film stuff. Like, there's just a lot of things to be happening. So I don't know what June is going to look like, but all I know is I love you. And whenever we need to make something happen, I'm here.
Take that. We'll be in touch. Seriously. We definitely would love to see. We need that. Pittsburgh needs that amorphous energy.
It'll be fun. I like Pittsburgh. I've been there once when I was driving from Philly to LA to move, and I stopped there for a few hours. And I was like, girl, why the hell have I not actually come through here? It's not that far from Philly, you know?
Yeah, it's like 6 hours. It takes me like, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
All things considered, between LA and Philly, you know, it was like the same difference on a flight to me.
Understood. But yeah, we'll talk more about that off record. For sure. You know, again, I'm going to end this episode with giving you your flowers. You continue to flourish. I remember the moment I saw you on Twitter. I'm like, who is this? Ear. And then as I, you know, started following you, then we got connected and I took a shot and it was like, I want Amorphous on my podcast. Like, he's had a year. And that was 2 years ago, almost. Whatever. I can't.
Yeah.
It's time. And you immediately responded, and this friendship has blossomed, you know, since. And so I can't wait to see you, which I will see you this year.
Yes.
Know that I am like, anytime you post, I try to, you know, do my hardest and share it and all of that, because you deserve. And you working with Beyonce was just like a moment. Like, I, you know, my friends win, I feel like I win. So I'm like,
wait, you didn't go?
Oh, I did.
Oh, I was like, I was confused.
Oh, no.
Oh. I must have misheard. I thought you said my friends win. I felt like I win.
I mean, when you win.
When?
I'm like, your friends win. I said, Brian, hold up.
No.
I mean, girl,
I would go to Vegas in August and bake like an aluminum, you
know, like hot as hell.
Aluminum foil,
hot as hell.
Every second of that show.
Damn, that's hilarious.
I didn't know. I thought you were. I was going to text you when I was out there because I didn't know if you were going to come to Vegas, or I know you're. You know, you're in LA, but
I wanted to go to every damn show, but I was working my own thing. You know what I mean? Like, that was really funny too. Like, even in the times like when in rehearsal, I was booked for gigs, so I would have to like, I'm like leaving rehearsal. And I got to fly to Atlanta to do like a gig there, and I'm doing an interview. And they're like, "Oh, like, so are you going to be working with Beyonce?" And I'm like, "I have no idea. I would hope so. Maybe in like 5 years." I'm like trying to play it off. Also, I'm like, "Girl, I just saw her."
Right.
Crazy time, crazy time.
Just sitting right across from me.
And you know, playing numbers and stuff. You know, playing some Uno. Just so kidding.
Funny, but
thank you again, Ryan, for like. Again, I'm not to cut you off, but I like to switch it around on you. It's the platform that you are cultivating for so many artists and so many creatives. And just, you know, whenever we talk, like, I just feel like I forget that we're doing an interview. I mean, I don't know if that's going to give me trouble, but I just feel like we just have such a great energy and synergy together. And anytime I listen to any of, you know, your episodes, you hear that through everyone. And again, that's just a power to you. So I can't wait to see all the beautiful things that 2024 blesses you with. Same to you, Antoine. Wait, are you still, how often do you do the Clubhouse thing? Like, do y'all do like, how often?
So yes, we are still active. We actually just had our first show maybe on the 4th. It was for Mama Tina's birthday. So we still have the podcast and whatnot going on. We still want to get you on. If anything,
that's what I was gonna say. I was like, child, might as well.
They have been pressing me, and I'm just like, listen, like he's going through, like you've been going through something. You're coming off of a big year, and you know your birthday, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So we could definitely reschedule that if you are down.
I'm down. Also,
okay. Bet. So now we got that. I can say that. I can let them know.
I'm pretty sure.
I gave it to you.
Yes.
Yeah, just text me.
Okay, bet. And I did DM you a couple weeks ago, but we'll talk about that off of the recording as well.
Okay. As I was trying to remember, like, damn.
So y'all, Antoine, thank you, my brother from another. I love you.
Thank you for having me.
For co-hosting my 100th episode.
Yes.
100 episodes. Woo woo.
100 more. In live.
Yes.
Live. In live form. Yes. Come on now.
In live form. That's, you should do that. You should do it here.
In DC. Here, DC?
Yeah.
Oh. Off camera.
That would be dope.
I'm here. You know I'm here for anything. Okay.
Again,
y'all, thank you for listening to this. Did 100th episode of Ryan Out Loud with the one and only talented, crazy talented, my friend Amorphous and my co-host Antoine. Thank you guys. You guys know how I end the show. Hold on. Let me ask this question. I asked you, you've been on here 3 times and I feel like the question changes. What advice would you give to your younger self at this age? You're at a new age. You know, I feel like things, the year you had, like, Has that perspective, has that changed?
I didn't remember what I said last time, so if I repeat myself, my bad. I think because I feel like the advice that I would give to my younger self now after working with Miss Beyonce, this is different. I think to fully live your truth, to fully live your truth. In some ways, I feel like I did in school. I mean, like I said, I was going around with my bald ass head, like I was Willow Smith, and living my queer ass life. But there was also a part of me that like was still kind of figuring out what my identity was, and not my sexual identity was, but who I was as a person.
Yeah,
and not letting my sexual identity identify who I was.
Right.
So the fact that I've just been able to, like, ever since I was little, I was editing Aaliyah videos and tributes at her birthday, the time that we're filming this, you know what I mean, it's coming up. I just feel like if I had not trusted myself, my own creative vision, if I had let people be like, stop making the Beyonce mixes, we don't want to hear that, I wouldn't have worked with her. You know what I mean? None of that would have happened. So I'm just like, to my younger self, what did I just say? It was something about trusting something. I don't know. Whatever. Y'all can listen back and hear what I said. But definitely just
basically.
Yeah. Just trusting myself.
Following your voice and not the outside.
Not what everybody else says. Who cares?
Yeah.
Live your own life.
The beat of your own drum. Did I say that right?
Yes. The beat of your own drum. Life is way too short.
It is. Life is short. Live it.
Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Else. That's what I say. All right, y'all know the drill. Black lives matter, black queer lives matter, and black trans lives matter. That will never change. And this is the 100th episode of Ryan Out Fucking Loud.
Woo! Yeah.